Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Mickey Callaway joins us now. I believe he's with us. So we welcome in the McMandrew off day today, back in action tomorrow after yesterday's home opener. Mickey, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Mike?
All right. How I know it wasn't the home opener that you were looking for, but it's been a good start. So what was your thoughts, though? A lot of, you know, my kids had their confirmation yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to see the home opener, which is rare, or go to the home opener. But and I would have been on the air. No, I wouldn't have. The Yankees played day game too, so I would have been able to go. But I didn't get a chance to. But it sounded like, when I was listening to the radio in the car, it sounded like a very enthusiastic crowd.
It really was. They brought a lot of energy. It was kind of a pitcher's duel yesterday, so they didn't get to see a lot of homers or anything. But the fans were definitely there and cheering on our guys. We got a lot of real standing O's for some of our players as they were being announced, and that was really good to see, especially some of our young ones, the Peter Alonzos of the world, Dom Smith. These fans are really embracing these young players, and it's great to see.
I know everyone's making a big deal about the travel. I'd say it probably was more Strasburg than it was travel yesterday, I would think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He pitched a hell of a game. He's an ace when he's on, and he pitched like it yesterday.
All right, your team, though, is off to a good start. You've seen some very good things. Alonzo first, very comfortable. I mean, I know yesterday he took an over, but I think he's been very comfortable at the plate. I think he's, you know, the ball he hit for his home run was like a one iron. I mean, he just killed it. He's got power. We know that. He goes to the opposite field. He doesn't look overmatched. Even he looks okay against breaking balls. He looks solid at the plate. He really does.
He does. You mean, you just said it all. You described it perfectly. He is, he's a pure hitter. You know, he's not only hitting for power, he's driving in runs, going the other way. Doing a great job of laying off of pitches and pitchers counts, and then you know, makes him throw the ball over the plate, and he gets into hitters counts sometimes. And when he does that, he really makes him pay and hits the ball hard.
You know, I never worry about somebody not hitting after a couple of games. The one guy I'd be a little worried about is Nimmo and his approach, and that it might impact him. Do you worry that the start's going to start to maybe knock him down a little bit?
That's the one thing you do worry about is, you know, everyone wants to get off to a good start. And, you know, after six, seven games in, if they haven't, you start to worry a little bit. But we'll continue to talk to him. I do like that he's seeing the ball well down and away. The one spot he's struggling with right now, and they're using that spot a lot, is kind of up and in. And he's not seeing that pitch as well as he has in the past. I know Chile and he are still working on, or will continue to work on, you know, seeing that pitch a little bit better so he can fight that pitch off and get to some of those mistakes that those pitchers make. But you do worry a little bit, but I know he has such a great eye at the plate and such a great approach that he'll snap out of it soon.
If I want to go into what's going on, Lugo was great his first appearance of the season. He blowing guys away out of that pen. I'm a big Lugo guy. I thought he was really terrific last year, and he has struggled like crazy his last couple of outings.
Yeah, he had two bad outings where he just couldn't, you know, execute. Got away from his approach and was starting to sink it and slider it instead of doing four seamers at the top of the zone and that good breaking ball down underneath. So we've talked to him about his usage. I think once we get his usage back to where it needs to be, that you're going to see the same old Lugo again. You know, we need to get him back in there as soon as possible, get him going, get him on the right foot, and you know, kind of let him go from there. But he's gonna be all right. You know, a couple bad outings is nothing too much to worry about. But the good thing is we identified what he's doing wrong, so we can fix it.
Well, we're talking about Mickey Callaway, of course. Mets with the day off after their home opener yesterday. Back in action tomorrow afternoon at Citi Field. You know, When I talked to you opening day, I asked you about three catches, and you said no. And I was hearing on a game yesterday, they were saying you guys are thinking about it again, and the same reason why Ramos's bat is so important, and he can be such a key guy if he's not in the lineup to come in and pinch hit for you. Does it make you rethink the idea of three catches because of his prowess as a right-handed hitter?
It really does, and so far we've used him twice when Neto has started to come in and get a pinch hit and then go in the game to catch. And
yep.
Both times he's gotten a hit and has driven in two big runs for us. So
he's a good bat.
You know, we're definitely
he's a big bat.
Man.
Yeah,
he can hit. He's got a short, quick swing to the ball, and that makes him really effective.
And you got to get somebody going in the outfield right-handed like Lagares. I know we can feel, but he's got to hit a little bit there.
Yeah, we need to get him going. I know he, probably didn't have the spring training he wanted, but he's working hard. You know, Broxton has been pretty solid so far. So those two guys will continue to go out there and give us the best they got. You know, I think the one thing that once we've settled in after this first week, we want to keep everybody kind of moving this first week and getting out there. I think you're going to see more of a consistent lineup moving forward. And we're always going to have the option to put those three lefties out in the outfield. We've got guys that will be coming back soon to help out at third as well. So you might see a little bit different lineup here
okay.
in the next week or so.
So are you going to want to put you still have plans for McNeil in the outfield, not just at third base? So you will go out. He can go out and play some outfield, right?
Absolutely. We do, and we know that Frazier and Lauer will be back at some point, probably in the near future, and that opens up left field for McNeil and opens up our ability to put those three lefties in the outfield and then have that big right-handed power hitter at third if we need to. So that's worked pretty successfully for us for a few games with Davis at third, and I think that'll be a good recipe for wins moving forward.
You know, I also like what Smith has done in that, you know, he's got such a he had such a positive attitude when I talked to him in spring training, and he just wanted to be a part of this team, and you've utilized him in a lot of ways already, and, you know, he might not be your first baseman because you got Alonso, but you can use him as a backup there and use him defensively and then use him as a pinch hitter, and he's given you a couple of lifts already as a guy who can come off the bench and get a hit for you.
He really has. You know, I think that, like you said, he's got some enthusiasm right now. He's embracing the role that he's in, which is not always easy to do, to embrace a bench kind of role. Having those two guys that are kind of interchangeable at first has been deadly for us so far. We're bringing Dom in off the bench to hit in the hitter in the pitcher spot. He's getting big hits, and then Peter comes up, and then we kind of insert him at first base for defensive purposes when we're ahead. And it's been a recipe so far that has worked really well. And I hope he continues to embrace the role. I think he will, and continue to get big hits for us off the bench, which is a hard thing to do.
I don't know if I guess you figured DeGrom was going to just pick up and be in the same place. But my God, I mean, his performance the other night was just it was just unbelievable.
I mean, he almost looks better.
Insane. You can't pitch any better. That's all there is to it.
That's unbelievable. And hit.
It's amazing. I mean, these pitches have been hitting like crazy, too. I mean, you know, you look around the league at these pitchers hitting all these home runs, too. But his performance, his consistency, it's Seaver-like. And Seaver was amazing when he was a young Mets. He was incredibly consistent. This guy has actually been that kind of consistent. I mean, he never has a bad outing.
Yeah, it's. I mean, he just broke the major league record.
Amazing.
Starts with three runs or less. I mean, that you can't get more consistent than that.
Why? What is the secret of the consistency? What do you put your finger on? Why he's so consistent?
I think it's because he attacks relentlessly. He's always ahead in the count, so he's never putting himself in a position where he walks a guy and then gives up a homer. He's consistently putting the pressure on the hitter. And if he gives up a homer, I think in his last, he's hit as many homers as he's given up in his last 42 innings.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's unbelievable. And he attacks relentlessly. So the guys know he's about to throw a strike.
You know, the amazing thing is the other night you saw him when he had good stuff. The first game, he didn't even have good stuff, and they still didn't hit him. I mean, if you've got a guy who's not going to get hit when he's got when he doesn't have his stuff, I mean, that's just, you know, what else is there? I mean, you know, so I know he's got a repertoire. He's got control of all his pitches. He can throw the changeup. He can throw the breaking ball. He can throw the fastball anywhere. I understand that. He can attack both sides of the plate up and down. So, I mean, he's got all that. But I guess it's just a confidence or a groove that just is, you know, that unusual, because you don't see anybody be this consistent. I mean, you know, you see guys, you see really good pitchers go to the mound with great stuff, but you don't see them have that kind of command every game.
Yeah, you know, he's a bulldog. I think, I don't know if you remember the game he pitched in the World Series where he really didn't have much. He just grinded through it and had a great outing. That's what he did kind of in his first start. He didn't have his top-notch stuff, but he gets through it. He punches out 10, goes 6. And, I mean, it looks like an unbelievable outing compared to anybody else. And then he comes out his next outing. Everything was working, and he punches out 14, hits a homer, and it's just lights out. I mean, this guy is on top of his game. He's the best pitcher in Major League Baseball right now, bar none.
Syndergaard's got to learn to get more one and two pitch outs. You know, Mariano, when he started here, his first year was as good a pitcher as I ever saw, and he said, I got to be more economical. And we're like, yeah, what do you mean? You strike out everybody. And he was like, no, I got to get some outs without throwing as many pitches. And they worked on it. And I think Syndergaard, there's too many three-ball counts. There's too many foul balls. I think he's got to get more. And I don't know how you want to go about that and how you want to attack it. But I think he's got to get more one and two pitch outs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, all of our pitchers try to do that because they see DeGrom do that. But you're right. I mean, you want to get a swing at one of those first two pitches, and you want to get those outs in the first three pitches. You want to make them put the ball in play. Our guys have great stuff, and if they attack the right way, they should be throwing 7-8 innings every single night, you know, and having that 110, 115 pitch count. That's how good their stuff is. So they do definitely need to get ahead and try to get them to put the ball in play in those first three pitches. There's no doubt about it.
Finishing those hitters off is a big key, right? Because you can't have a million foul balls.
You're right. You have to be able to understand exactly what the hitter's trying to do. I think the hard thing for Syndergaard is, and I was talking to Jim Riggleman about this on the bench when Syndergaard was pitching. He said that the hitters feel like Syndergaard's right on top of them. And another thing he said is that they see the ball pretty well off of him for whatever reason, because it's so straight over the top.
Interesting.
They can see it, so they end up fouling the ball off. They can't quite put it in play, and it ends up fouling it off, and it kind of hurts his pitch count.
So he's not getting as many swing and misses as you would like.
Exactly. I think that's why we're going to continue to talk to him about elevating the ball up in the zone when he can. When he gets these guys in swing mode and they're on the defense, he's got to elevate a few balls so he can get those swing and misses that we're talking about.
What do you feel after seven games? Do you have a thought or two about your team after seven games?
You know what? I feel like it's a team. I mean, these guys are a unit, and they're going out there and they're playing the game the right way. You know, I think that from what I've seen so far, I haven't seen a group mesh this quickly in a long time.
It's a happy team, I can tell you that. Now, you know, I haven't seen a team laughing on the bench as much as this team has. I know it's good when you're winning, but I mean, they also just seem to be a very happy group.
They are. You know, I think they're all happy to be on the same team with each other, and they enjoy one another. We have a great group of guys, a great group of players, but, you know, not just players, they're great people. And they all get along really well, and that's you know, that's a hard thing to find, because usually, you know, you'll have one or two guys that don't quite get along with everybody and can cause some rifts, but we just don't have that.
Where are you with Frazier and Lowry?
You know, I think they're getting close. Frazier's a little bit closer than Lowry, and you know, I think that let's see what he's doing today. I think he's playing 6 innings today or tomorrow. So he's feeling good, getting at bats and playing third and first. So so he has those options when he comes back. But you guys will see him soon, and then Lowry will not be far behind.
It has to be very tempting for you to play Ramos a lot and not sit him very much behind the plate with that bat. I know you don't want to burn him out, but, boy, it's got to be tempting not to write his name in the lineup card every day.
It is, man. He's one of our best hitters. There's no doubt about it. And these off days that we've had early have been able to keep him in the lineup for the most part. And, you know, we have more off days than we have in the past this year. So we're expecting him to play quite a bit.
Yeah, he said that to me. He said, you know what? I haven't played as much the last couple of years. He said, I hope to play. Now, he said 130 games. That's a lot if he can catch 130 games.
That is a lot. That's a lot for any catcher. But, you know, he feels like he can do it. And we'll continue to communicate with him on how he's feeling and see how many we can get out of him.
That bat's a big plus. I'll tell you, he really is. You know, in the middle of your lineup, that big right-handed bat's experienced bat like his is a big positive. It really is.
Exactly.
Well, listen, thanks, Mickey, very much. We'll talk to you. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.